This is catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. A Star Wars The Clone Wars era fanfic written by Oriki Mitad and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Cody Obi-Wan, with additional tags for humor, crack, animal transformation, Cody 1 week. Cody still needs a break. Summary. The 104th artifact containment procedures are getting to be a pain in the shebsay. Cody is at least thankful it's not him this time. He thinks Obi-Wan's pretty cute, fluffy, and footlong. He thinks Obi-Wan's pretty cute all the time. Inspired by That Feline Feeling by Project 0506. Written for Cody 1 week, 2020, day 3, prompt, role swap, reversal. Inspired by Proje's AU of her Soft Wars AU, especially That Feline Feeling.
Priority alert.
Cody, don't make me regret this, please. I already regret this enough. Rex, there's been an incident. I need the code red plans for a carking idiot general who's lost his thumb privileges.
Priority response.
Rex. What species?
Priority response.
Cody. Definitely feline. Small. Cute. Lots of purrs. Wolf, your artifact containment procedures still need work.
Priority response.
Wolf. Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. You're on the negotiator. I, on the other hand, am not. So this one's not on me.
Priority response.
Cody. Yes, but your Jedi is here. We think it's respiratory. I'm guessing Kuhn's rebreather filtered out the Jedi nonsense.
Priority response.
Rex. I'm sending you the file now. Check your pad.
Priority response.
Pons. I want holos.
Priority response.
Doom. I want you all to shut up.
Priority alert deactivated.
Cody scrubs his eyes and looks down at the small ginger fluff ball that was winding round his calves, waiting for his datapad to ping with Rex's plan. He'd not laugh at his Vodica's need to overplan again. Much. A chirp, the only warning before he has a lap full of his general, a head butting into his free hand. It's a very cute lapful. He scratches all the places that felt real good the last time this happened to him, and murmurs that it'll all be okay. It was disconcerting the first time he'd been transmogrified, but Rex now has plans for no thumbs, and none of the changes had ever been permanent, thankfully. Yet. A knock on the door, and he hears the code being punched in before he can even answer. He'll have to work on that. They could at least pretend to have manners and patience. Commander, Waxer mentioned you might appreciate me bringing you these. Wooly holds out a heating mat, water bowl, and a collar with a bell in 212th gold. It had sunbursts and a little Jedi Order symbol on it. Looked like someone had been preparing for an eventuality similar to this for a while. There's no way they made that collar in the last hour. Cody wasn't sure he wanted to know who, though. Wooly looks like he could have actual hearts in his eyes, and Cody suddenly realizes that the 212th adoption instincts are strong in this one. Thanks, Wooly. Leave him on that desk? I'm afraid I'm a little trapped at the moment. Cody gestures down to where Obi-Wan had curled around, tiny head using his tail as a pillow, purring contentedly on Cody's lap. He looks up in time to see Wooly wipe the sappiest expression off his face and school it into something almost approximating a serious look of worry. Is the general going to be all right?
He didn't remember any of the men being this concerned when he'd suddenly ended up with two legs too many.
He'll be fine. Probably. Eventually? Yes, he'll be fine. Cody reassures him. A small meow, and Obi-Wan bats at Cody's hand, pushing it back onto his head.
My apologies, Najeti,
Cody chuckles, stroking between his ears and down his neck. He knew this was the very same general that was so selfless and strong, whose care for those under his command hardened the very air around them, daring their enemies to just try it. See what I do to those who take what is mine. But when his Jedi is smaller than a DC-15S carbine, it is hard to reconcile those two thoughts. All his heart is shouting is protect and small and love. He hears the swish of the door and realizes that Wooly was probably a little awkwarded out by two of his COs effectively cuddling. Eh! He pulls Obi-Wan off his lap onto the bed, ignoring the affronted grumble he hears, and goes to grab the collar from his desk. Obi-Wan waits surprisingly patiently for it to be fitted, shaking his head to and fro to hear it tinkle. And then with a leap, Cody has his shoulders full of fur, claws making an awful noise on the plastoid.
Okay then, let's go see the damage.
Boyle and Waxer are waiting for the two of them in the briefing room with irritatingly smug faces, as well as an increasingly apologetic Keldor who just won't carking stop, even as Cody makes frequent attempts to close down the conversation. It's as Master Plo begins to get to his knees that Cody has to actually walk across the room, about to lay a hand on his shoulder as the Niseta dies on his lips. Mask? He doesn't say it all, anyway. Obi-Wan jumps down onto the holotable, jingling quietly, and it's not long before he's scooped up by Wooly. His purrs rumble through the space, and Cody spots Boyle and Waxer signing rapidly about who will next get snuggle time. Interesting sign work. I'll have to add that to the appendix. He drags his attention back to the room at large. Right. Rex's plan states that ideally we'll just wait for the general to become himself again. If the issue doesn't resolve itself by next watch rotation, then we'll move to phase two. What did happen to the thing? The assurance it's been taken care of doesn't mean much until he realizes it's come from Longshot. He relaxes a little. It seems to have only affected the Jedi, but there's no need for complacency. He's still sure he can at least place most of the blame on Wolf. The rest, he'll happily load on Kenobi's shoulders. He should know better. The rest of the briefing goes well. They're about a half day out from their rendezvous with Kuhn's flagship, and there's a couple of messages from High Command that are quickly dealt with. Obi-Wan's been passed from VOD to VOD. Cody's watched the sneaky games of Lizard Toad Snake out of the corner of his eye. At the moment, he's curled up, nestled in the crook of Cry's bent arms, making occasional whiffly snores. It's carking cute. He's glad his helmet hides his disgustingly sappy expression, and uses his helmet cam to take some holos. No one needs to know. The meeting ends, and on his way to his office, Cody agrees that Kryze can leave with the general, under strict instructions not to lose him. He's brushed off with a laugh. How hard can it be? Longshot pipes up. He's only got tiny legs.
Commander? Oh no, that tone doesn't bode well.
not even on the best of days. This has not been the best of days. Boyle and Waxer are standing at the door, somewhere between at ease and about to run for it. Is the general with you? Cody's to his feet before his brain has caught up, looking savagely at the two troopers at his door. It has been 30 minutes. How have you managed to lose my general in less than an hour? He eventually growls out. Did you check the heating vents?
Yes,
a voice calls out from the corridor. Cries.
Coward.
The bridge? The galvan coils of the turbo laser cannons? The power cylinders in the main engine room? A puzzled look at that. Cody shrugs it off. The general runs cold even normally. It's why the code red plans for him include a heating pad. He'll be looking for warm places. He sees the signals. Knows Boyle's assigning roles to the members of Ghost Company that are cowering in the hallway. He waits for the sound of boots to fade away before leaving the office, walking the few corridors over to the officers' berths. Sure enough, there's a training Bavine lent up against his door. Impressive. It's a fair few levels to have dragged that either from the cells or the armory. He puts on his bucket as he walks in, and considers grabbing a few more hollows with his helmet cam. For personal use, and potential bargaining chips with pawns. Always useful. But while there's a small dent still pressed into the eye-wateringly colorful blanket draped over his sheets, and a broken gold collar, there's no sign of his missing Jedi. Rex needs to expand on his plans, my dear, comes through from the fresher. There was nothing in the Code Red plans about taking off items before the change back. Sick. He's through in a shot, hands grabbing at Obi-Wan's jaw as he checks his neck for damage. I'm fine, Nokar. I'm afraid the collar came off worse than I did. He pulls Obi-Wan into a quick hug, before grabbing his datapad and sending out a message to Ghost Company that they can stop looking for their lost general. He considers for a moment, before also sending one to the command chat.
General alert.
Cody. Kenobi's thumb privileges restored. Thanks, Rexica. Though you need to expand your plans.
General response.
Puns. I still want hollows.
General response.
Doom. I still want you all to shut up.
General response.
Rex. Noted. What's the addition?
General response.
Cody. Obi-Wan was wearing the collar during the change.
General response.
Palms. I definitely want hollows.
General response.
Bly. Obi-Wan?
General response.
Cody. You're fucking married, Bly.
General response.
Bly. Yeah? And you still make me gag.
General response.
Doom. I still want you all to shut up.
General response.
Fox. Agreed. The end. Author's translation notes. Bavine, Lance. Carr, Star. Other Mandoas should be commonly found, but I can translate as needed. Reader's notes. If I had a nickel for every time I made a podfic of Obi-Wan turning into a cat, I'd have 2 nickels. Which isn't a lot, but it's still weird it happened twice. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.